Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We are approaching, of course, Bein HaMitzarim. This Shabbos actually is Shivasar B'Tammuz. We do not fast on Shivasar B'Tammuz on Shabbos, of course, but the Shabbos enters into the period known as Bein HaMitzarim, between the straits, and it is apropos. It was really the beginning of the end in the time of Bayesheni, when the walls were breached by the Romans, and that was the beginning of the end. It took them 3 weeks to set fire to our holy places, Haratzion Shashamim, Shu'alim Hilchubo. Now foxes prowl there, but it is appropriate to remember, and I told them in a couple of classes, that during this time period, I repeat the Gemara from Maseches Yuma, Daf Tes Amud Beis, over and over and over and over again. And the Gemara clearly states, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of Shlosha Dvarim Shahayubo, Sineschinim, Gulavarius, and Avodah Zarah. That it was a time period of bloodshed and idolatry and forbidden physical relationships. And then the Gemara says, "Zman Bayisheni, in the time of Bayisheni, how you oskim b'Torah mitzusuk midas chasadim." People were oskim in Torah mitzusuk midas chasadim. Could you imagine that the Gemara says that? So it sounds like such a nice, firm society. They were oskim in Torah mitzusuk midas chasadim ipnei macharav. Why was it destroyed? Because it was a time period full of, unfortunately, baseless hatred and intolerance. Perhaps is a lack of respect and complete intolerance for a fellow Jew. And therefore, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara says, "Lam decha shushkula sinas chinim keneged shalosh averos," to teach you that sinas chinim, baseless hatred, intolerance, lack of acceptance. You know, you don't have to condone a person's behavior in order to accept who the person is as a fellow Jew. "Lam decha shushkula sinas chinim keneged shalosh averos." So, if you have a scale, mamish, like who here would consider gila raya shvichus dam avodah zarah appropriate behavior? Nobody would dare do such a thing. If you put sinas chinim on the other side, the scale is going to balance itself out. But then the Gemara says, was there no evidence of sinas chinim? And I know that we discussed this a couple of years ago, and the Gemara says clearly, what happened during Bayis Rishon, there was also evidence of hatred amongst the Jews, except that how does the Gemara express it? Different terms, doesn't say sinas chinim. These are people who would eat and drink with one another, remember? They would spear one another with the swords of their tongue. That's Pashat, the Lashon of the Gemara, the Charvos of the Shonam. So here we are learning about, hopefully, Shmiras HaLashon, guarding what can be a sword of the tongue and stabbing one another, which leads to Gaul. So the first temple was destroyed because of sins of stabbing one another with the swords of the tongue. The second temple is destroyed because of different manifestation of sinas chinim. So as we enter this period of Bein HaMitzarim, it is a very opportune time to increase our zrizus, our alacrity, our shmira, our on guard of this very, very important category or umbrella of mitzvahs known as Shmiras HaLashon. So with that, let's get to the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha Arachem V'Chanan Shetezakeinu Hayom U'V'Chol Yom Lishmar Piyu Lashoni Milashon Hara Rechilis Ve'Zahar Miladaber Afilo Al Ish Yachid V'Kol Shekein Akal Yisrael O Achelik Mehem V'Kol Shekein V'Yisrael Al Midos Av Shel Kol Shbaruch Hu Zahar Mladabra Divre Shaka Khanufa Machlokas Kaas Gaiva Onas Tvarim Habanas Panim Leitsanis Vhodibur Asur Vizakeni Shalodaber Kim Davar Hatsari Khanyani Gufi Vinafshi Viu Kama Asai Vidibu Lai the Shem Shamaim Amen Halavai Riodani Lugunishmas Vigersham Lavasham Benyo Vachanas Nasham Shalab and Aliyah in the merit of our Torah, as well as continue with Surah Tovah, Surah Fus for Brach V'Gaibas Racha Getha. So we are, everybody open up please. We were on page 101, that's where my bookmark was, right at the top of page 101, but I'm going to go back to begin on page 100 please. We're in Parak Ches, okay? And he's talking about the the 16 milos that come out, the benefits, the levels that come to one who guards his tongue. So let's go back to base, okay, mile base. The Teidel Nachon, Shabilti Kabal Shchov Veshashmei, you should know certainly that without accepting upon yourself to guard your tongue, Alul Ma'ol Dehikashal Behen, it is very, very likely that one will stumble in sin. So it's almost impossible, Chavos Chaim is going to say, in fact, he's going to say on the next page, that if you go for a week, it's like almost a nace. Now, we're not turning to the next page yet, but that's what he says. I actually not only underlined it, put it in a box in my own notes. V'im Yisda Mein Shei Natzol Shavu Achad, Hukimat bidarach nes. It's unbelievable, because once again, we used to, before this class, define Lashon Hara in a very narrow category, but we have to remember that we're not only talking about Lashon Hara, we're talking about Chanuf and appropriate flattery, we're talking about Machlokas, we're talking about anger, we're talking about haughtiness, we're talking about verbal oppression, we're talking about embarrassment, we're talking about mockery. There's so many categories. Good morning. That is Mamish and Nay, says the Chavetz Chaim, if you can go 1 week. Imagine such a thing. Alum Odi Kashaban. It's very likely that you will stumble. Ki halavin vaha asin, because the lot hases and the asis hatfuyim bakoach adibur, that are dependent upon koach adibur. Einam shavin lavin vasin shabakolatar. These are in a unique category. The mitzvos associated, whether it's the lot hase or the asse, wishmer salashin, are not like any other mitzvos in the Torah. Shabaham maitsui she natsa shavu vachodash. Because with the other mitzvos in the Torah, it's possible you can be saved for a week or a month. V'lifamim gam shana u'shnasayim, and even a year could pass or 2 years could pass without you transgressing the other mitzvos in the Torah. Shelo yavar aleihem, that you won't transgress. Masha ein kein elu shetzuim b'koach adibur. You should know, he says, that it is not the same when it comes to the power of word. Afilu imhu yirei elokim, even if you are a God-fearing person. As long as you let down your guard, right? It is not possible that even 1 week, that's not possible. So when I was reviewing, because when I open up so the bookmark is to start preparing, I always like to go back a little bit, which is what we just did. Sometimes something new strikes me, which didn't strike me the first time around, which is exactly what happened now. But the Chavetz Chaim is teaching, I'm still in the bottom of page 100. We didn't exactly flip over yet, even though we switched, we just finished the sentence. Any time that he is not accepting upon his soul to guard himself, Eino Matsui, it's not possible. So when he says Chovis Hashmir, and I thought of it in this category, that you're not on guard, it made me think of really a soldier. Because a soldier is someone who has to always be on guard. You can never let your guard down for a minute. I mean, we don't know, us, those of us sitting at the table, but we certainly have Achinu B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael who do know, and it is a matzav that one can never let his guard down. It also reminds me of Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman Zatzal, the legendary Baal Machnis Oreich on the Lower East Side at the turn of the last century when the Gedolim came from Europe. They only went to his house. They didn't go to any other houses. They knew he was the house that they could trust. And he was like a soldier in Hashem's army. He was always ready to do Hashem's army. He once had a shayla with a pipik, and he sent his daughter Rechamashin to the Rav to ask the shayla on the pipik. His wife had just shechted 24 chickens. It was obviously a different time. And they didn't know which chicken the shayla came from. And he told his daughter to just go ask, you know, he went with his daughter. He went with his daughter. And he, you know, a shayla is taken into consideration based on the circumstances. But he did not say that my wife just finished, you know, kashering all of these chickens, and we don't know which was from, which might in fact influence a shayla. He just said, this has a shayla. And his daughter almost opened her mouth to say something, and he gave her a look. And he said, I'm not looking for kulas. And after the Rav said it's kosher, it's brought down in the book, All for the Boss. After the Rav said it's kosher, he said this, he explained where it came from, but he said, I'm not looking for kulas, whatever. I'm in Hashem's army, like a soldier in Hashem's army. So a soldier can never let down his guard. And so too, when it comes to Chovis Hashmira, it is impossible, the Chafetz Chaim is saying, impossible, that if one lets down his guard, he will not be influenced for the negative. So I'm reading this book. It's called From the Wilderness and Lebanon by Asa Alubatsky, and it was recently translated from the Hebrew. And he describes his experiences. First, it's in 2006, so the Second Lebanon War. First, he was in the Gaza Strip. He's a firm soldier. First, he was in the... Someone took this. This was after many of his comrades were killed in battle the next morning. He always had his tefillin with him wherever he went. In fact, when he was seriously injured in a tank incident, he was shot at. One of the first things he said when he woke up is, he says, where are my tefillin? And at first, they couldn't find them. It was, you know, lost in the Mali. And upon his evacuation, he was in Gaza. And straight from Gaza, they went up north to the Lebanon, where he was injured in battle. But when we read this book, well, we should read this book, how it describes so astutely, I'm just trying to see if I can find the part that I want, the hair. Here we go. You know, when we daven for Shmira, we don't think about really what they're going through and what we daven for. And they're in Lebanon. I'm just going to pick up from the middle. Itzik had traveled this way the previous day, was leading the convoy. I knew the route well. I studied it on the map, but I had difficulty identifying the route from inside the vehicle. They're in a protected vehicle. As long as we were inside the vehicle, we were protected from small arms fire, snipers, and other dangers. But you could only see what was going on outside through the periscope. The angle of vision was so limited. When we were on a slope, on ascent, you could only see the sky. And on descent, you could only see the ground. I needed to see the new area, he's a commander, that we were entering. So I decided to lift the flap and put out my head. Now, by the way, earlier in the book, we're in there in Gaza, they're ready to go in, and he gets a call on his, I don't know if it's communication, you know, soldier, commander, did you remember say Tefillah Sederach? And they stop and they say Tefillah Sederach first when they have to evacuate those who were killed. He talks about the battle where Roe Klein was killed. Roe Klein is very famous. He jumped on the Great Eagle while saying Shema Yisrael. Mm-hmm. They were reciting Tehillim. Anyway, I wanted to see the new era we were entering, so I decided to lift the flap and put out my head. I balanced my feet on the seat of the vehicle. I stretched upward to push the heavy flap of the vehicle open. The dry summer air hit my face. It was the time period, and he mentions it repeatedly, of Shiva Asar B'Tamuv and Tisha B'Av. When they're going in, it's Erev Tisha B'Av. I stretched my head upward to push the heavy flap open. The dry summer air hit my face. I was conscious of the danger. I attempted to locate the position on the map as far as I could recall. I surveyed the terrain, trying to discern the continuation of the path. And suddenly in the distance, I saw a flash, followed by a ball of fire speeding towards us. There was no time to draw in my head. Are they aiming at the vehicle, at others in the convoy? Everything shook. There was a tremendous crash and a wave of heat. We had been hit. It was an anti-tank missile. It hit our vehicle precisely in the command post. That's where he was. It penetrated with enormous force. We rolled uncontrollably towards the left. We came to rest. I was standing on the seat. My head was still out. I felt a strange pain. I opened my soot-blackened eyes. I looked down at the seat I was standing on. In a blur, I saw my right shoe lying on the seat. Had it fallen off? Had I been hit in the leg? My leg had been hit and the seat was shattered. My flak jacket was shattered. Some days later, I realized what would have happened if I had still been sitting in the seat and not stood up to survey the route. It actually saved his life. Standing up saved his life because his leg was hanging by tendons. It was this close to severed, but it saved his life. Pieces of shrapnel penetrated the crew's compartment. Orion, Ohad, are you okay? One had shrapnel on his legs, other one's eyelids were stuck together. He could. Okay, one page. I'll show you one page. So Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, if we want to understand maybe what Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, besides for Imam Anochi Betzara and Zachar Sashar Zarech HaMalik, and this would be a good book, or Bein HaMetzarim, because the war takes place from Shiva Sarvatamas, they go in on Tisha B'Av, Zachar Sashar Zarech HaMalik, and when we talk about Churban, besides for all that, Chazal say, Venzoma Omer, and I don't know why, but when I was preparing, when I read that if one does not take Shmirah, because Shmirah means to be on guard, so it made me think of a soldier, and that made me think of Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman, who always said he was a soldier in Hashem's army, which made me think of the task of a soldier, which made me think of the book that I'm reading, which made me think of Pirkei Avos. Benzoma, Omer. It's fun sometimes to see, you know, you're talking about one thing, and then you're like something that's like then three topics over, and it's fun to think of, how did I get to this topic from that topic? That's how I got here. Ezehu Gibor, one of the most famous, perhaps Mishnais from Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Gibor, okay, the whole Mishnah is Ezehu Chacham, you know that. Who is a wise person, one who learns from everyone. I'm skipping the one I'm going to talk about. Ezehu Mechuber HaMechar Be'es Habrios, one who is honored is really one who gives honor to others. Ezehu Asher Sumech B'Chalko, one who is wealthy is not money, but one who is satisfied with what he has. And for purposes of our shiur today, Ezehu Gibor Kovashis Yitzro, who is a mighty person, a strong warrior, one who conquers his inclination. And then the Mishnah quotes a pasuk from Mishnah, Tov Erech Apayim, better is one who is slow to anger, Erech Apayim, it's a midah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, mi Gibor, from a warrior. How is Gibor actually translated? Man of might, okay? Umosho Berucho, a man who rules his spirit, Milochad Ir, from one who captures a city. So the Mishnah has just told us that one who can conquer his inclination is stronger than one who can capture the city. And certainly when it comes to Chovis Hashmira, it's something that is very difficult for us to do. And it's something that we have to be always on guard, like a soldier. My husband was just saying something. He has a a certain person that he knows. I don't want to give any identifying details. A certain person that he knows in a certain difficult family matzav. My husband said that this person had a change in some of his life circumstances. And first I asked a question. Then I said, you know what? Don't even answer my question. I don't want to talk about it at all. Because remember we saw last time that Tzaddik and B'nai Brak, that there's a sign over the door. And it says here, we do not talk about other Jews at all, even for good. So I asked a question, and some of my husband has a lot of shayichus with, whatever, for a lot of time. My husband said a certain statement, I asked a question, and I said, I don't want to talk about it. Forgot that I asked that. And it's very hard for us. It's very hard for us. Okay, so I'm quoting from Rav Lau and Pirka Avos, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, and Yachal Yisrael. Ben Zoma proclaims inner qualities, courage, daring, and equanimity in the face of adversity express true prowess. Who is strong? One who conquers his own inclination. Why, says Rabbi Lau, is this greater show of strength? Is it a greater show of why is this a greater show of strength than courage and bravery in battle? I read you one page. The commentators explain, listen, because everyday life does not usually call for courage. A person exerts courage when faced with an emergency, that is true. He overcomes fear and despair in a moment of crisis. And when the moment is over, he reverts to his daily routine. However, the war against one's evil inclination is constant and unwavering. Quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, Tzofa Rasha Letzadik Umevakesh Lahamiso. It's from Paraglam and Zayin. The evil one gazes at the righteous. Tzofa Rasha Letzadik Umevakesh Lahamiso. He wants to put you to death. And the Gemara says that this refers to the battle with the Yetzer Hara. The greater the person, says the Gemara, the greater his evil inclination. From Masechet Sukkah. And something I always found difficult to understand, that you would think a tzaddik would be rewarded. The greater the person, the less his evil inclination should be. But the Gemara says, Masechah Sukkah Nun Beis, the greater person, the greater his evil inclination. Because a person, as he overcomes his evil inclination, it grows stronger because he sees he's losing the battle. It's like the last ditch effort. So he's going to put in his whole worth. This is a war, quote, I underline this. This is a war without respite. Every day represents a new battle. Every moment requires renewed energy. So how can we let down our guard for one moment, for one day? With every WhatsApp, how could you let down your guard? It's an ongoing and stubborn struggle without compromise or retreat, and therefore you need daring and moral strength to overcome the evil inclination. The sages said, the Gemara relates, the Talmud tells us in the days of Ezra, the sages sought divine assistance to eliminate, do you remember this, the evil inclination of? What did they get rid of? Avodah Zarah, okay? And their prayer was accepted. And from that day on, Jews no longer had the overwhelming urge to serve other gods. And this is something that we can relate to. We have many other overwhelming urges, Lashon Hara being one of them. But we don't have overwhelming urges to run after Avodah Zarah. Even though there are other forms, perhaps, of Avodah Zarah, just means strange worship. But for the most part, that Yetzer Hara has been abolished. So the sages said, this is a favorable time. Let us pray for the removal of the urge of sins of flesh. So there should be no more sins of immorality. The Talmud relates this request was granted, but Zechariah the prophet admonished them, and Zechariah said, if you kill this inclination, you will destroy the world. So the sages said, let's try for 3 days. At the end of 3 days, when they got rid of the Yetzer Hara for body urges, they were unable to find a newly hatched egg in the entire land of Israel. This is from Maseches Yuma. Without this drive, chickens would not lay eggs. From this we see the Yetzer is a power of creation, without which the world cannot exist. And that's why it's called the Yetzer. Ezo Gibra Kovashis Yetzer. It doesn't say Yetzer Hara. Because even within the Yetzer Hara, what we call Yetzer, there is some Tov. When Hashem completed creation, and this is a known Medrash, the Pasuk says, Ve'ara Klim Eskal Asher Asa V'hine Tov Ma'od. And do you know what the Medrash says? The Medrash says Tov Ma'od. This refers to the Yetzer Hara. The very last pasuk in Perek Aleph of Bereishis, Perek Av Lamed Aleph, God saw everything that he did, and behold, it was very good. And Chazal said, you know, it was very good. The Yetzer Hara was very good. Why? Because the Medrash says, if not for the Yetzer Hara, a man would not build a house, marry a woman, have children, or engage in business. No one would have a drive because there would be no jealousy, I'm putting that in quotes, fueling you to succeed. There would be no taiva for a woman. There would be no desire for a home. So there would be no desire for kvod beso. There would be no desire for a woman. There would be no desire for business because you're just so complacent. So actually, the Yetzer Hara is very good. Very good implies an abundance of good. Clearly, says Rabbi Lau, the role is not to eliminate the Yetzer Hara, but to control it and to utilize it in a positive fashion. One more paragraph. Even performing mitzvot requires the evil inclination. interestingly. And then he brings down, and I think about this often, when I'm having kavara, where we say Shema, v'avtas Hashem al-kach, b'chol v'avcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol me'odacha. It's from Sefer Devarim, Perek Vav, the famous Shema. So b'chol v'avcha is written with two bases. You know that. And it should really be one base, libcha. It shouldn't say l'vavcha. So what does Rashi say there? B'shnei yitziracha. You have to serve Hashem with your two inclinations. So I think about that a lot. What does it mean to serve Hashem with your good inclination? Understand what it means. What does it mean to serve Hashem? My yitzara. I have two inclinations. That's why by the time of creation, Ma'isa Bereishis, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Esa Adam Afar Min Adam, Vayitzar by man is written with two yuds, by animals it's written with one yud. Also, the Mefarshim explain why. Animals don't have two yuds, they don't have two inclinations, they don't have two yetzers. They have one yetzer, what's it called? Instinct. They do what they're supposed to do. The butterflies to fly to Mexico, to the breeding grounds, it flies to Mexico. The wildebeest has to cross the Masamar River, it crosses the Masamar River. The leopard has to take the kill up to the tree, takes the kill up to the tree. They don't have two inclinations, they run by instinct. But by man, there's a double yud. Why is there a double yud? Because you have the Yetzer Tov and you have the Yetzer Hara. And you have both of them. So I always think, not always, I often think, well, by Shema, what does it mean to serve Hashem with the Yetzer Hara? Isn't that an enigma? A mystery? Isn't that even more than a mystery? Isn't it a stira? Not to serve Hashem with my Yetzer Tov, but how could I possibly serve Hashem with my Yetzer Hara? So one way is to channel the Yetzer, to say, Hashem, this is my I don't know if it's right, it's my Yetzer. That I say, Hashem, you made this Yetzer Hara. I don't want to have this X, Y, and Z emotion. I don't want to have this X, Y, and Z me to help me conquer. For instance, the evil inclination is necessary to serve Hashem. For instance, we can arouse jealousy as a motivation to acquire wisdom. So that's what we just said. Jealousy leads a person to do business. We can utilize our anger to fight injustice, although we have to be very careful with that. According to the Rambam, there should never be any expression of anger, and indulge our love of food to enjoy Shabbos and the holidays. So man has a desire for good food, and that's gashmius of this world. That can also be turned into Yetzirah, but he says it could be turned into Yetzirah Tov. Utilize anger to fight injustice, be careful, motivation to acquire wisdom. Did anybody see, so when I read our love of food to enjoy Shabbos and the holidays, I don't know if anybody saw Mishpacha magazine this week, one of the letters, okay? So apparently there was an article about food in one of the issues recently. I don't know if I read it. I think I did, that maybe we're like too over the top with food. Did you see the piece? Oh. Why are you nodding? Because you agree? We're a little over the top.
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept of there's foodies and it's all
the whole concept of what?
There's foodies. Even the term foodies, that you're so into food that you label yourself as somebody that's into food is...
Okay, so I also think it comes into play a lot in the 90s. You know, I think it comes into play this Indian, you know, Navel B'Shus HaTorah, Ramban's phrase to Vayikra 19:2, no, don't be a glutton within the parameters of Torah. The Ramban specifically mentions food and wine. Okay, shouldn't be a glutton. He mentions meat. And I think that it's a big Masr Haskel for us in terms of the 9 days because, I mean, yes, we need to feed our families and we need to eat, but it's not supposed to be a time of celebration and 9 days menus and food ideas. And, you know, do we really need to go to barbecues where someone makes a seam just for an excuse to eat meat? It's one week. It's not supposed to be a time of mourning. I was praying my Tisha B'Av Shir. Shem Shem Pinka says we don't even know how to mourn anymore. He says we lost all feeling. We don't even know what Tisha B'Av means anymore. So I definitely agree with you. I'm coming up tonight. This is something to keep in mind. Yeah, we need to eat. We need to feed our families. But it's not supposed to be a time of celebration. 9 days many, like Sukkot's many. Something to keep in mind. Anyway, so a woman wrote in, because Rabbi Lau just says we should use our love of food to enjoy Shabbos and the holidays. The letter writer who penned the food experience questioned whether making food into an experience is lending too much importance to food. I used to feel the same way. I mean, really, it's just food. But she had a different experience. You never know what's going to happen with your family and children. My son used to return home from the teen meeting on Shabbos already full. He had fish, soda, chillin, take kiddush. Excuse me. My husband and I wanted the entire family to sit down together for Shabbos lunch. Our son left the table after a motzi, retreated to the sofa. This bothered me. Cajoling him didn't work. Stating, I'm your parent, you must come to the table, also didn't work. It wasn't worth the fight. It set a tone for the entire meal. Talking about fight, machlokas. There had to be a better way, and I found it. My son loves sushi. I remember reading in a periodical, it's from Mishpacha, how to make sushi. When I read it, I rolled my eyes. It's just food, I thought, but it was worth a try. So Shabbos, after Hamotzi, I introduced sushi as our appetizer, along with gefilte fish. I'm not going to lie, it was a pachka. I was thinking to myself, when I read this, why isn't you just buy it? At first, it was a messy joke, but it worked every time, and pretty soon it became a family thing. Shabbos morning after shul, we put the rolls together. After Kiddush, everyone, including my full son, she puts full in quotes, look forward to some homemade sushi. My son sticks around for the rest of the meal, and we get to enjoy his company. By the way, the letter writer's name withheld, she's from Far Rockaway. Okay? Mm-hmm. Truth be told, I'm still a fan of onion soup mix and duck sauce for my chicken. Olive oil, salt, and vinegar are fine for salads. I'm not running to try new recipes, but I have an appreciation for foodies. I'm not rolling my eyes anymore saying it's just food. Baruch Hashem, there are people who care about food, and they help bring my son to the Shabbos table. That is a beautiful alternative perspective. Mm-hmm. When I read Mamasha, Rabbi Lau says, indulge your love of food to enjoy Shabbos at the holidays, I said, Hashem, because I have a few mishpachas on the table. Which magazine, which one was this in? Okay. So some religion, says Rabbi Lau, demand their adherents separate from the world. You know, maybe some religions would say, like, I don't know, I think it's like Mahavdal, Alfe of Dallas, but I read like monasteries or monks, or I don't know if it's sisters, they don't talk.
Monks,
they don't talk. Okay, so if you don't talk, you're never going to talk on Shadar. Very good. So you're never going to talk on Shadar. Okay. What? So Rabbi Lau, some religions demand adherents separate from the world and adhere to stern demands fit for the abstemious few. But our Torah is not like that. It wants us to live within this world. The Torah is not given to angels. Lo b'shamayim, it's down here. And Hashem also gave us koach adibur. So the true gibor is he who sticks his head out. Well, he's a true gibor. I'm not taking anything away from from giborim like us, Alubatsky. Put their lives in line to support, to protect the borders of Eretz Yisrael. But another kind of gibor is he who sticks his head out of the proverbial hatchet, and when he sees the missile coming, he's able to duck it because he's able to conquer his inclination to put his speech aside. And for those of us who have been in such a massive, we know that it is not difficult. One more nakuda, and then we're going to go back inside. The Chovas HaLevavos, I'm still quoting Rav Lau. The Chovas HaLevavos, Rabbeinu Bachai Ibn Pekuda, offers a famous Master Sefer, offers the following parable. And this relates specifically not just to the inclination, but to our topic, because one of the forbidden forms of speech, has the Chavetz Chaim, which he's going to talk about on the next page, is Gaiva. Rabbeinu Bachai Ibn Pekuda offers the parable. An army returns victorious from war. As they march, the king notices his confident and an advisor looks worried. And he asks his confident advisor, what's wrong, says the king. So the confident replies, this is brought down Chovas HaLevavos, your majesty, you have been victorious in a minor skirmish. Now you stand before a major conflict and I'm much more concerned about the outcome. What are you talking about, asks the king. The confident replies, only after this military victory does the true war begin. A war that never ends. The war against the evil inclination. For instance, will your present victory make you boastful? How will you present it to the people? In your joy, do you not fail to notice the traps the evil inclination is setting for you? So when it comes to, when preparing Chovas HaShmira, we really have to be like the soldier on battle. And we can never let down our guard. You can never not look out the periscope. Every WhatsApp, every sentence, every comment, everything that somebody says is a potential minefield. It's not possible that you will be saved even 1 week from forbidden speech. What did Rabbi Lau just bring us from the Chovas HaLevavos? That sometimes you do something good, and then what happens? You want to boast about it. And that too is a problem. That's Dibur Masurim of Salvechuk says, quote, I used to be jealous. I worked on myself. I'm not jealous anymore. The same thing is told over Moshe Feinstein. You know the famous story that someone spilled ink all over the new Gemara. Moshe said, I wasn't always like this. I worked on myself my whole life to overcome my kas. Gaiva is one of the forbidden terms of speech. Kas is one of the forbidden terms of speech. Similarly, it's brought down the Rav Pan biography, a similar vignette. These gadolim work on themselves. So famim yotzi mipiv divrei gaiva vavuz. Vafilu, look at, now this sentence is a little disturbing. Vafilu im misga belibo bilvad. Even if you have a negative feeling in your heart, makvid kosh baruch ma'od, Hashem is very makvid. That's very hard. That's very hard. What do you think? I'm asking you a question. It's one thing not to act on it, but it's not enough not to act on it. B'chol levavcha, the lev is an internal organ. It's not just that I can't exhibit kas. It's not just that I can't exhibit gaiva. It's not just that I can't exhibit onas dvarim. It's not just that I can't exhibit leitzonos, which you can't, and that is a very chashuv madriga, but you must work on yourself to reach an even different madriga. You must not feel leitzonos in your heart. You must not feel gaiva and kaas and onas dvarim and machlokas, even in your heart. It's one thing to not say it's good, it's kishmak. You didn't make fun of somebody else. You didn't make fun of the gedolim. You didn't embarrass somebody. You didn't become angry. It's tremendous. But here the Chavetz Chaim is saying that even if it's internal, makpid akash baruch mod, Hashem is very makpid. That's very disturbing. I'm very difficult, and so it's a very high standard. But like my brother said to me, just because a little while ago we were telling Mr. An Indian, and he said, he said, just because something's hard doesn't mean I shouldn't work on it. Hani Machas, one of the most amazing things she said in the book, and there are very many amazing things that we can learn from her in her life and in the biography that came out after her life, is something brilliant. She said about Korach. Does anyone remember what Hani said about Korach? I think of this sometimes when I'm battling with the negative emotions that Hashem is going to be mafid on. Korach was, we just had Parshas Korach, okay? Probably so. Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. And the Gemara uses Korach as an example of Machokah She'ino L'Shem Shemaim. Okay, Machokah She'im Shemaim is Hilva Shamay, She'ino L'Shem Shemaim is Korach Rekalda. So he was not seen in a positive light. He was an instigator of fight. He was the coup. He led the coup in the attempted coup and rebellion against Moshe and Aaron. Obviously, it's really a battle against Hashem if you're against Hashem's chosen one. Not seen in a positive light. He died a death that nobody had ever seen before. In Bria Yivra Hashem, Paschar says Piha. But Hani says about Korach, he wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. It's so geschmack. What is she saying? Everybody's born with Korach like tendencies. The Sefer Bavli Mishkan Evna says, and every person has every biblical personality. That means we all have the gaiva of Paro. We all have the kina of Korach. These are some of the midos that the Chavetz Chaim warns us against. This week's parsha is Bilam. And at the end of the parsha, we have the promiscuity and the znus. We're all born for inclination because we just saw by Rabbi Lau, we have that inclination. We all have the inclination for physical desire. We all have the inclination for Korach was also Bali Tzonis. Rashi says he was going around the whole night around the camp, mocking Moshe and Aaron, getting people riled up. He was a Baal Gaiva. No, he was a Baal Gaiva. He was also a Baal Kina. Paro was a Baal Gaiva. Lo saw Sodom and Amorah, and he cast his eyes and he went to go to a place of promiscuity. Every person, says Bilvavi, has within him every biblical personality. So Oz Korach's real problem, says Hani, it wasn't who he was. That's what Hashem made him. So he didn't ask Hashem for help to change. And sometimes I tell Hashem that if I'm, feel I'm in a difficult matzah with my Yitzhar, I say, Hashem, you gave me Yitzhar. He's doing a very good job. You put him there. And I say in my head, Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem. No, I don't want to feel this. But maybe that's the way to serve Hashem with your evil inclination. It's very difficult to think that if you're miska belibo bilvad, and put in any word for miska, if you're miska belibo, if you're a baal kas belibo, if you're a baal sheker, divrei sheker belibo, that Hashem is very makbir, but maybe what it means is if you don't ask Hashem to help you change, if you don't attempt to change the negative midah, if you don't hope or daven to move your ayin ra from to your ayin tova, then Hashem is very makbir. But if you acknowledge just negativity, that could lead to the sins of Lashon Hara under the much broader umbrella. And if you acknowledge that you don't want to be like this, and Hashem, you may be like this, and the Yetzer Hara has a purpose, we saw that. He is tov ma'od, and I need him to succeed in life, but please take away this negativity. Then hopefully, I don't know. But then in that case, we hope Hashem will not be makid. Kidichtiv tov es Hashem kol gavalev. The pasuk says in Mishlei, it is an abomination. What is an abomination before a God? Anyone who is haughty in his heart. V'lifamim lashon hara. At times it could be lashon hara. Lifamim rechilas. At times rechilas. Lifamim divrei sheker. And I think it's so, so important to keep reiterating this because we have to be very careful. My husband, we were somewhere recently, and we saw someone who used to have a beard and now doesn't have a beard. Yeah. So my husband said, oh, so-and-so is there, he shaved his beard. And I said, don't say anything to him. I said, I won't. But really, thanks to you very, very much. And the words of Chafetz Chaim, and your father's neshama shev, a tremendous aliyah. And I hope for all of you, learning has made me so much more aware of everything that comes out of our mouth. That's under the category. You don't know. Maybe he'll be embarrassed. He obviously shaved for whatever reason he felt he needed to shave. Maybe there's a personal reason. Maybe, I hope not. There's a medical reason. Maybe he didn't want it anymore. I have no idea. But maybe saying something will make him feel embarrassed. Or that's how Banas pun it. Maybe it'll make him feel like he's made fun of. You don't know. So the man's been right away, don't say anything. I said, maybe so aware that We used to have such a narrow definition of what does Lashon Hara mean. It's not. Lefa'amim rechilas, Lashon Hara. Lefa'amim rechilas. Lefa'amim divrei sheker. All leitzanus. Lefa'amim onas dvarim. Lefa'amim gam habanas panim. I just gave you an example. Lefa'amim divrei chanufa. So we're not only talking about Lashon Hara, yes. Rechilas, yes. Lies, yes. Mockery, yes. Verbal oppression, yes. Embarrassing somebody else, yes. Divrei chanufa, improper flattery of the wicked, yes. Lefa'amim matzui shem shemayim levatal. Look what he adds in here. And this is so relevant for our generation, by the way. It's the taking the name of God in vain. And that's very interesting, because then he says next, afilu b'lashon la'az gam kein isur gadol. And I think that's so interesting when we think of the term OMG, and that it's very common for people to say it out, and that's not so pasha. Even in a different language, not only in Lashon HaKodesh, it's an isur gadol, it's a very big prohibition, a very strict prohibition. You can't say Hashem's name in vain. So look how many things are talui b'koach ha-dibor. Things that we don't necessarily classify. Lefa'amim divrei ka'as. And sometimes it could be words of anger. Shematzui ayidei ze machlokas. Ka'as will lead to machlokas. Quarrel. Onas dvarim. Va'od kama isurim. So we will stop here. We will do a halacha, which is a bit lengthy. The next one is very lengthy. Does anyone have questions or comments? I think that's the first time I said that all year. I'm sorry. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay. Let's do one halacha, which is a bit lengthy. This is very interesting. A better deal. Ready? It is permissible to inform friends and neighbors of a store where they can attain items of better quality or at better prices than at the store where they usually shop. Now, I wonder, I don't know, if that's, let's say you're talking about a small Jewish-owned store and a big-name store. Is this only when you're talking about two Jews? Or if you're talking about, you know, a small Jew who's trying to eke up Parnassa compared to Amazon. I mean, everybody knows Amazon already, so that's not, you wouldn't even, I'm just pointing something out. Let's say somebody buys something in a small Jewish store and you say, oh, you know, I just got that in Bed Bath & Beyond for $20 less. I don't know, because then what are you doing? You're really hurting that guy's Parnassa. But interestingly, it's permissible to inform friends and neighbors of a store you can attain items of better quality or a better price is in a store where they usually shop. You have to meet certain conditions. One, you should know the information firsthand. So not that someone told you and someone told them and someone told them that it's $30 cheaper. You, mamish, know because you bought it. It must be certain the item of the quality of the item is superior. Where there's significant difference in price, you have to verify the less expensive item is not a cheap knockoff or actually does a less better job. There must be no suspicion that the preferred store is dealing in stolen merchandise. In conveying the information, it's important not to imply the first storekeeper is overcharging. So you would say, listen, I know the rent on Central is so, so expensive, and it's not that he's overcharging, it's the nature of where he is. One must convey the pertinent information without being judgmental. Furthermore, since people often view high pricing in a negative way, the information may be considered derogatory. It can only be conveyed for a constructive purpose. It's very interesting because this applies to two people who live out of town, right? But mamish out of town, I'm not making this up, this is MS. One person mentioned to the other person that their glasses were from Costco. So the other person said, Costco, I get my glasses from so-and-so. So-and-so is a Jewish store. And then I said, maybe I wasn't the one who said either thing, but I said, maybe that was Lashon Hara. I don't know. Like, are you allowed to say that? It's interesting that it seems to be here that you can, but again, I don't know if that's when two proprietors are both Jewish, or if you're talking about one of these big brand name stores and then you're taking parnassa away from the small guy. Consequently, mom may only relate information to people who may be interested in making a purchase. Otherwise, it's considered Lashon Hara, which makes a good point. So you can't say you go into someone's house. Okay, she has a KitchenAid mixer. You just bought a KitchenAid mixer. She's not planning to make a new purchase. She bought his last year. She's very happy with it. You say to her, where did you buy it? She says, I bought it at X store for $300. You say, X store for $300. I just bought mine at Bed Bath & Beyond for $220. That's pure Lashon Hara, because why? She's not going to buy a new mixer. What do you need to tell her? The cost of your mixer is going to make her have a bad impression of who? The store where she bought it. So therefore, just for the sake of conversation, is considered Lashon Hara. One second, it continues in the back, which I just want to continue with you. Finally, one should consider why he deems it necessary to relate the information altogether. Perhaps it would be better not to get involved. and refrain from any action which would affect the storekeeper's income. Good advice. Okay, so about Ezra Hashem, as we enter the... Can I just quote one more Midrash? Okay, because usually I don't often read the Musaf page because we do a lot of that in the Sefer, but this time I thought it was very relevant, especially because we spoke about entering Bein HaMitzrayim. We started with the Gemara Maseches Yuma. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sins of Charbol Shel Lashonim, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinim. We just saw the Chavetz Chaim, but the very Ka'as, last sentence in the Chavetz Chaim we ended with was that Ka'as leads to Machlokas. Okay? The stages say in Derech Eretz Zutza, chapter 9, a home in which there is strife will ultimately be destroyed. A synagogue in which there is strife will see its congregants dispersed. A city in which there is strife will become a place of bloodshed. And that's unfortunately what we saw at the time of Churban Bais. Two Torah scholars in a single city, or two rabbinic courts in a single city who feud with each other, their end will be death. Moreover, strife between rabbinical courts brings destruction to the world. For when there is peace among God's legions on this world, there's peace in the heavenly legions. When his union is established on earth, when the Jewish nation is united in peace, so there's peace in the upper realms. That's something fascinating because when I finish Mon Esrei, I always say, Oseh Shalom B'Mramav. I think, oh, there's peace there first, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. But actually, the Midrash here is teaching us, it's a little bit the opposite. If we have peace here, it affects peace up there. And perhaps when we can have Shalom in all realms, you'll be misalking the sins of Sidus Chirim and Harbel Shabbat Shalom. We always have to be on guard. We're soldiers in Hashem's army. Someone shaves, someone looks different, someone's wearing something unusual. I don't say anything. And then Be'ez Hashem should be Zolcha to the ultimate peace. Any questions or comments? Okay, it should be a week of Besuras Kovos, ladies.